Was Fallen by Sarah McLachlan. Beautiful song.
Yes, it was.
And this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP-LP-FM, adding local color to your airwaves. Right now we're broadcasting on Live 365, but very soon you'll be able to listen to us on your radio dial at FM 88.1.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a topic, a comment, something that you'd like to hear on the radio, give us a call and leave us a message.
That's right. You can call 701-566-0917. Leave a message. Leave us your name and where you live, and we might air it on the air. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. Email us, cindy@kppfm.com and duke@kppfm.com.
Or you can also find the People's Press Project on Facebook and check out the stuff that we have, the articles that we post, the stories that we talk about. There's lots of opportunities for people to comment on topics that we might have on the show.
That's
another way that you can comment.
That's right. Get involved.
Also, you can comment right on the podcasts listen to these on our website.
That's right, at kppfm.com. Just click on the podcast link and you can listen to a show and comment on that show right on the page.
That's right. And then there's just one more thing I want people to know about and promoting this new Spanish show.
Oh, yeah.
Sabor Latino. So for anybody out there that likes the Spanish and Spanish music, tell your Mexican friends, tell your Latino friends, Sabor Latino, every Sunday at 6 o'clock.
That's right. It's live at 6, and then we post the podcast afterwards. But listen to it live, 6 p.m. every Sunday.
That's correct. Now, today's topic is the fall from grace. And I think it's very timely to talk about falling from grace right now with everything that is happening in America. I mean, there have been some huge tragedies and big news stories that are coming up that really, I think it's America's come to Jesus moment.
Oh, yeah.
I think America's going to have to answer for some of its behavior, and it's becoming quite evident that they cannot run anymore from these obvious truths, such as the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
What's happening with the killing of black people with police in this country. And recently we talked about this on another show. They've tried to shift the blame onto Black Lives Matter leadership and protesters. Who am I talking about? The media.
Yes.
The media is playing into this narrative. So is the, conservative right wing, and so unfortunately is the moderate white progressive left. They are also upset. It seems self-evident there in the response to Bernie Sanders being disrupted in Seattle and the way that people have reacted in the news, blaming Black Lives Matter protesters now for the deaths of police officers in Texas and in Illinois, where no evidence whatsoever exists.
That connects it at all. There's nothing that connects it at all.
And there has been this judgment, this, well, this desire on the part of everyone, really, everyone, to start throwing stones at the Black Lives Matter protest, and by extension, on all Black people.
Yeah.
On all Black people calling for justice, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some Black people out there who are calling for these thugs and these criminals and these protesters to be arrested, to be eradicated. They're you know, leading the choir for white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disturbing on many levels. We talked about COINTELPRO and the way in which the federal government assisted by local authorities illegally and unconstitutionally went after and even participated in the assassinations of 20-some Black Panthers, you know, a surveillance and framing and arrests and imprisonment of activists and leaders that really most people in America don't know about
for some reason, or don't want to remember. They don't want to remember. It's people of color movements have been violent. They've you know, the government has killed so many people and have basically stopped people's movements.
The Brown Berets in the 60s, remember, there was an anniversary recently on that.
And they
had the LAPD went out and busted heads, killed four protesters and a prominent Mexican reporter.
That's right. And it's unfortunate that officers get killed in the first place, but you know, statistically there is less officers' death this year than the year before. And to blame the Black Lives Matters movement on these deaths, it just doesn't make a connection. And that white progressives are jumping on the bandwagon. That goes all the way back to MLK and MLK talking about the white moderates and how they're really hindering and not helping. That exists today. We haven't learned our lessons.
Exactly. And I believe people are trying to kill the Black Lives Matter movement just the same way they're trying to kill Black people in this country every day.
It's very uncomfortable for white people because it's not going away. It's in our face because it needs
to
be in our
face. If they stopped killing Black people.
If we stopped killing Black people, it would stop.
But instead, what we want to say to Black people is stop talking to us about you getting killed. We don't want to hear about it.
That's right. And the way the news usually works is you hear about one thing and then you don't hear about it for weeks and weeks and months. You don't hear about it ever again. This is in the news every day. Mainstream news is forced to have to pick it up.
You know, yeah, because social media is taking over.
That's right. And there's a lot of people of color in this country and internationally who are focusing on the news that people need to hear.
Yeah. And, you know, one of those is Malkia Cyril, the executive director of the Center for Media Justice.
Oh, yeah, Mac.
She weighed in on this issue. And you can actually follow Mac on Twitter at The Culture Jedi. And I highly recommend that you do. That's at Culture Jedi, CULTUREJEDI on Twitter. And this is what Malkia said, and I thought it was really, you know, spot on. It hits the nail on the head in terms of what all of the people, even other groups, even other people of color groups, what we're all doing wrong when we're attacking the Black Lives Matter movement instead of supporting it. And this is what Max said. The Texas police and Fox News blame Black Lives Matter for the shooting of a deputy because the shooter was Black. Some ultra-leftists blame Black Lives Matter for not endorsing the Green Party, for confronting Bernie Sanders with racial justice demands, and for the Democratic Party's independent and failed attempt to endorse, co-opt, the movement at large. Some Latino and Native brothers and sisters attack Black Lives Matter for its exclusive focus on organizing Black people, despite the many multi-ethnic Black Asians, Natives, and Latinos in our ranks, or the fact that these communities of color struggle, too, with anti-Black racism and have focused for many years on issues other than the growing police state. Some Black elders blame Black Lives Matter for its lack of respectability. Some Black activists blame Black Lives Matter for its visibility and also for straddling the line between base building and vanguard organization. Some apolitical Black people blame Black Lives Matter for its supposed failures to address Black-on-Black crime. And yet, here we are, a nation of debtors, sick in body and mind, captive behind bars and borders, stratified by racial and gender hierarchies. Here where we control neither the political system or the means of production, where our labor is sold and our land is stolen, where our every moment is scrutinized, where both the body and our love are criminalized, we still cannot figure out who our true enemy is. Yes, Black is a people, but this is not about identity politics. Black is the character of my true love. Black is a political category. Black is a historic cultural context. Black is an organizing principle. Black orients the geography of both race and capital. That's why Black Lives Matter is for all of us. The growing intersectional network of Black Lives Matter and the movement for Black Lives are expressions of deliberate organizing, direct action, and movement building. And it's gorgeous. Educate, agitate, organize. Hashtag principles matter. Hashtag stay focused. Hashtag I believe that we will win. That was amazing.
Wow, it's very amazing. It gives me goosebumps.
I know.
Good job, Mac.
Every time I hear Mac talk, I feel like I'm listening to a prophet.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and Mac knows, Mac's a Panther cub. Her uncle and her parents were in the Black Panthers, and her uncle was falsely imprisoned by this government for participating in a liberation movement for Black people. And here we are. And here is this Panther cub still fighting for the liberation of Black people.
She's been doing it her whole life, you know, and she's very effective at it. And, you know, she is pulling it together. And I've been trained in organizing for over 20 years. And what I see today happening in the Black Lives Matter movement is I see a very genuine type of organizing. And that's why you have the left liberal who kind of had their foot out of it but have their intellect in it. It doesn't make sense because it's not following the pattern that's been prescribed in organizing. This is very effective. And I like that Mac is trying to unify people on what we're fighting against. And there's a place for everybody in this movement.
Yeah. And it's like, hello, we have Black people in Mexico. We have Blaxicans. We have Dominicans have Black. Cubans have Black. Puerto Ricans have Black. We all have intersectionalities that we need to remember, be aware of, and build on our unity. And I've said this before. I think that until Black Lives Matter, all life is devalued. We cannot, we are all connected. We cannot allow part of our brethren to be killed, to be ignored, and expect that our lives are going to have value.
That's right.
When our lives, when we start devaluing human life, all human life becomes less valuable.
That's right.
And it becomes disposable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening to our Latino brothers and sisters, to our Native brothers and sisters. We see very large numbers of those two groups being affected. Why? I believe because we're all indigenous to this land that was stolen from us. And these folks that are doing the policing, the patrolling, they come from a long legacy of the slave patrols and the soldiers that came to remove Indians onto reservations and kill them and clear the way for white settlers in this country. So we have to remember where we came from, lest we forget where we're going.
Exactly.
If you just tuned in, we're talking about Falls from Grace.
Yes.
And I thank Malkia for letting me share that on our show. Again, you can follow Malkia on Twitter at Culture Jedi. And I'm going to start talking now about some other supposed Falls from Grace and what's going on with the rhetoric around these topics. You heard that Drew Wrigley announced he's having an affair.
Oh, yeah. He's a lieutenant governor in North Dakota, right? He was the attorney general. Mm-hmm. His big claim to fame is putting Alfonso Rodriguez in prison for life with a... He was a prosecuted for murdering Drew Chaudine up in Grand Forks. So a Latino man that, but that was his, you know.
He loves throwing the book at people of color.
Yeah.
You know why I think I find his announcement morally reprehensible? Not because I'm the morality police. No. I think it's reprehensible because he's the morality police. Yeah. And it's sort of like, I'm not saying it's the same, okay? Don't freak out, people. But it's sort of like when you find out that a televangelist or a priest is molesting children or having gay partners, etc. Because when those people, it's like Josh Duggar, when you espouse that people should be condemned, not you, you're not saying you should be condemned while you're doing this stuff. You're saying other people should be condemned, should be harmed, should in some instances be killed. And people do get killed. Trans people get killed all the time. Mm-hmm. Gay people get killed all the time. People of color more so than white, even in those subcategories. And yet, it's simple for some people who keep standing on the pulpit of religion to point their fingers down at those folks and ask for their demise and ask for their suffering at the hands of society, not at the hands of God. They're saying, God says it's okay to hate these people. God says it's okay to bash these people because these people are evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's I think it's a form of selective moral outrage. And the reason I think that it screws up Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, Christians and non-Christians, the New Agers versus the, you know, the old school Protestant, Catholic, Lutheran crowd, is because y'all don't race your stuff. You don't talk about race. You don't talk about patriarchy.
That's
you don't
right.
talk about misogyny.
That's right.
And you don't remember history.
Uh-huh.
And as long as you keep talking about these things in a vacuum and you don't connect them to what they're supposed to be connected to, and you never talk about race, you're going to always be running around in circles, chasing each other, and you'll never be able to overcome your discussion because you're arguing two sides of the same coin.
That's right. Yeah, when this story broke, I thought this guy was going to run for governor because Dalrymple's not going to run again. And I thought, well, his race is over because he's supposedly happily married and he's heterosexual and he's a
his race isn't over.
And it's like, and that's exactly what you said. You said
more.
Oh, that's not going to hurt him at all. And I'm like, what? You know, it's like
nothing.
The hypocrisy isn't evident in the community. It
no,
is
no.
To
see,
me.
That's the rule. Hypocrisy is the rule. And if you are a religious zealot that is throwing your religious book at people and using it to imprison them, like the drug war,
mm-hmm.
it was used against black people.
Yeah,
it manifests in injustices against the weakest and the poorest and the darkest mm-hmm. in our country. It
yes.
always has.
That's the way the system's designed, definitely.
And those who are the crackers.
Yeah.
of the present day carrying out the orders, whether they be the lawyers, the judges, the district attorneys, or the lieutenant governors, or possibly the governors of the state, they are still making religious interpretations, legal interpretations, mm-hmm. moral interpretations, mm-hmm. and they're punishing. They're punishing in society what we are saying our values are.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, okay, right now in our society, it is legal to put people in jail if they have an interracial relationship.
Oh, yeah.
We did that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Long after the slaves were free.
That's right.
We created laws like Jim Crow and segregation mm-hmm. of schools and anti-miscegenation laws mm-hmm. to prevent black people from having anything to do with white people,
That's
despite
right.
the fact that they were now free.
Yeah.
They still were not free.
They were not free.
They were not free. We lied to ourselves. We told ourselves we were doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then white people become incensed that someone comes along 50 years later and says, you're still not doing the right thing.
Yeah, you're not.
So we've reviewed this over and over again. I know how much you like to study an issue. Well, we've been studying the issue for the last 50 years. Turns out, still wrong. Still against the Constitution. Still against probably a lot of moral views that we hold dear as a so-called Christian nation. So we're going to make this constitutionally required now, like gay marriage.
Yeah.
And still people flip out. It's that fall from grace problem that they have, like, oh no, I can't do the thing I was always doing. Why wasn't it wrong before?
That's right.
It was always wrong.
It was. It was. In fact, when people talk about the past, a lot of times they'll say, well, for the era, it's like, no, it was still wrong then.
And there were people back then that were saying it was
That's wrong, too.
Exactly. You choose to ignore what you wish not to hear. And, you know, it's funny because the Bible says that there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. The Quran talks a lot about that, too. So, you know, we're all going to be waiting for the judgment day. We're going to be waiting. You're going to be waiting. I guess we're going to find out what's up.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, nobody really has the right to make those kinds of judgments and punishments. But some people are given that authority. And that is why in the Bible it says, be real careful because you get extra punishment. If you're a leader amongst society, if you are a rich person or an influential person, you're going to have more judgment heaped upon you than anybody else.
Yeah.
According to God.
You have more responsibility.
Right, because he says that people follow the rich people and the leaders.
Yeah.
Like they, the masses of people believe them and follow them, and that's for, therefore they lead people astray. So if they don't act in honesty, if they do not act in the best interest of the people, they will be punished more harshly than anybody else.
That's right. I kind of think of the theme fall from grace is kind of like the exception to the rule, because you have Wrigley, who is the exception to the rule. You know, it's all fine. He's still going to run for governor. And this stuff is a private matter. It's no one else's business. And no one should even be talking about. Reporters shouldn't be asking questions because it's private. Yet when it comes to people of color, everything in their lives is on the television, in the newspapers, all sorts of things unrelated to anything that they're accused of is used to demonize them.
Exactly. You know what I thought of when I first heard this story? I didn't think about that Drew Shadeen murder case thing.
Yeah, you wanted to kill the guy. He's going for the death penalty.
Oh, I know. I remember. He always loves to go for
the state, worst. In a state that doesn't have the death penalty.
But see, everybody rallies around, you know, the kill the criminal when it's a person of color.
Yeah.
Didn't they charge Leonard Peltier in that same courthouse?
Oh, yes. Yes, they did. Well, in Fargo, Leonard Peltier was in the Fargo federal courthouse in his trials in 1975.
Yeah. And look how we did him.
Yeah.
And he's still there.
He's still
paying for a crime he never committed.
Exactly.
We have destroyed people's lives for the law, to follow the law. Look what, you know what I remember? I remember the Caste 23.
Oh,
I remember the people, the poor people from India who were the victims of American greed and corporate greed in the form of Louisiana
rebuilding after the Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, company that hired a bunch of people from India, promised them that they would be given work visas, and they had to take out exorbitant loans in their home countries, in many cases from not some very nice people. And then they were swindled and they were held as human slaves.
Yep, they were prisoners. They were prisoners at ethanol plant right outside of Fargo.
They were prisoners in Louisiana. They escaped from there, and then they came to work at the ethanol plant with fake IDs because they found out that when they got here, that the visas only allowed them to work for that company. And when the company started to abuse them, they couldn't leave. They couldn't complain because the company could have them sent back and there was nothing they could do because they don't have any rights because basically they're slaves. They had them living in boxcars that were, they were living in squalor with
no windows, no aeration, the living quarters were terrible.
They had, and they were charged for that.
Yeah.
They were charged and taken it right out of their pay. This has been done to immigrants, Mexican immigrants as well in this country for a long time. And do you know what this upstanding dude, Drew Wrigley, did at the time?
Tell us.
He took these people who many people in this community were trying to help because they were the victims of human trafficking. The ethanol plant called them in when they finished their job, and they were specialized pipe fitters.
And they got it done ahead of time.
They got it done ahead of time.
They thought they were going to get bonuses for all the hard work they had done.
They lied to them, and they told them they were going to give them bonuses. They tricked them. They brought them in, and then they had them all arrested.
Yeah.
And not only did they not have a way of paying their loans back that they took out to come here, after just having escaped being imprisoned as slaves in Louisiana, now they were going to be imprisoned for a year. And Drew Wrigley had no mercy. He had no mercy.
Right.
Let me repeat that, because the Bible also says that as you judge, so shall you be judged.
That's right.
Drew Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying what it says. God says. He says, if you are, remember that God is merciful when you judge others, because that's just the same way that you behaved when others wronged you. That's how you're going to be wronged by God.
That's right.
He's going to hold you to the same standard you held others to.
Well, Drew came in there instead of seeing this group of men as victims of slavery, as criminals.
Yeah, he said because they had false IDs. Yes, yeah. They had to have false IDs so they could escape.
Yeah, and he wouldn't issue the forms that could be issued to actually get them vindicated. There was a bureaucratic process that could have happened to have these men get justice. And Drew would not do that.
No, because they were from India.
Yeah. So this guy...
Brown people are the perfect scapegoats in this community. People love... It's like going to watch in the Coliseum and having the gladiators kill each other. Except now, when people are tired of the injustices that mount in a community that refuses to prosecute white people and give them slap on the wrist when they rape, when they kill, when they steal, when they coerce, when they embezzle, but then throws the book at the mentally ill, at the human trafficked, at the slaves, at the poor. Well, you know, you're actually you're creating a system of inequality that you're going to reap the benefits of.
Yep.
We are seeing how that's playing out in the rest of the country. And it's not pretty. It's no surprise that this country is experiencing a fall from grace.
Yeah.
The entire country is experiencing that fall from grace. And it's a good thing. I heard the Pope said that a year of Jubilee is coming up.
Oh, the Pope is a voice that is actually very inspiring in these days and these times. I'm really happy with the Pope that's actually speaking out. But
I'm surprised, because you know what? White progressives are mad at the Pope.
Oh, yeah. You know, because he's speaking the word of God, you know, and said white progressives don't even want to relate to God or relate to the Bible at all. And
I
encourage you all to read it from the beginning to the end. I never had. Never had in my whole life.
I know, and I was really mad about that, remember? I told you, this is some BS right now. And I'm going to talk about why that is when I come. I want to take a break
and
let people think about the topic of the Pope coming to America. The fact that the Pope has recently announced that he is going to issue he's already issued a proclamation that all the priests and bishops have the right to absolve the sin of abortion, forgive women for abortions during the year of Jubilee, and a bunch of other things are going to get forgiven at that time too.
Wow, excellent.
And then we will also talk about the response from conservatives in America, from liberals in America, and even the response, the angry response from the American Nuns Association.
Wow.
Yeah. So some heavy stuff here. We will talk about all of that when we come back from our break. What are we going to listen to here?
Epica, Cry for the Moon.
Thank you.
for the moon.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was epica.
Epica.
And this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP LPFM. Thank you for being with us. We're broadcasting right now through Live 365. Soon you'll be able to listen to us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM.
That's right.
Adding local color to your airwaves. Also, if you would like to get a hold of us, you can leave us a message.
Oh, yes. I should be telling you that, you know, 701-566-0917. Give us a call on that calling line. Leave us a message. Tell us who you are, where you live. We might use your statements, your comments, your suggestions on the air. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP and email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com.
Mm-hmm. We always love to hear what people have to say. And I've been paying attention because that thing with Drew Wrigley, people really lost. It was weird because conservatives were like, let us pray. And like Scott Hennin, he was like, let us pray for the family of Drew Wrigley. People, they get very religious. Let us pray. Like they're giving mass, you know?
They have their own problems and they're dealing with them and we need to help them heal.
Right. There's all sorts of forgiveness and mercy then. But the mercy and the forgiveness isn't reserved only for the elite.
That's right.
Only for the rich. Only for the powerful. Only for the Christian. The mercy of God is for everyone.
Yes.
Right?
Everyone.
So there's hypocrisy in what is being professed here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it looks to me like because white, moderate, progressives, liberals, I'm talking about you folks, the Democrats, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of you, not all of you, but most of you have embraced this organized religion is bad mantra and have kind of fallen away from the traditions of your parents.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say, I'm not a practicing Lutheran or I'm a reformed Catholic.
I forget the words they use, but you know, it's
recovering.
Recovering. That's what it is. Recovering Catholic.
Catholic. You know, white people always say that to me. I'm like, I always say I'm a Catholic. I mean, I don't go to church all the time anymore. And that hopefully my father won't hear the show.
Oh, well,
but see, I don't really have a choice about that because I'm a colonized person and that's the privilege that white people have. I had a conversation about this online the other day and I'm like, oh, how convenient for you, white person.
Mm-hmm.
How nice for you that you get to choose what religion you are.
That's right.
The only reason I'm here is because I'm Catholic. The only reason I'm here is because I believe in God, because the rest of the people that didn't want to convert, they're dead now.
That's right. They were killed. We're not being killed for falling from grace. Yet we want to, as a progressive, we want to hold on to the principles of religion. The kindness, the caring for others, the elements of not killing, not stealing. These are all principles of progressives, but they don't want to hear about religion. You evoke the word of God in your podcasts, in your radio shows, and I can just see the progressives cringing. Because I used to do that. I used to look at that and think, well, that I can't.
I don't
think
have
that
a choice.
Way.
See, and people were like, "Oh yeah, well, I grew up with people like beating, you know, all sorts of ideas over my head about women that were negative and about gay people that were negative, and I've heard a lot of people say, oh, and all of this, you know, the priest raping stuff is not good. I'm walking away from the church because of this, because of that. I don't believe that they're fair to women and their women's reproductive rights. All sorts of reasons why people are walking away from the church in droves. In fact, we talked about this in a different show that we did, separate from, you know, like why are all these people en masse leaving the church? And I think it's because for the same reason that most white people don't have any culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, white people gave up their cultural roots
to be white. Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, it's like they're giving up their religious roots to worship supremacy.
That's right.
But it's not a religion. It's not a religion, folks. I mean, the Ku Klux Klan would disagree, but I think that white people are starting to conflate the two too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Christianity is not white supremacy, folks. They're two different
That's
things.
Right.
White supremacy has become your religion, and it's been tied to your Bible, but it is not Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They're two very, very different things. And when I look at the way that white folks have walked away from their... It's not just that they don't practice their own traditional religions that their parents came from and the grandparents came from. They get to be Buddhist. They're like religious tourists.
Yeah.
They will practice any religion but theirs.
Mm-hmm. to be different, you know, the whole idea about...
They're like, I'm going to become a shaman. I got a certificate. And I'm like... That's kind of disrespectful and appropriative.
That's right. We don't understand appropriation because we've been appropriating because we've given up what is ours. And we very, very many times will take other people's sacred things and make them for ourselves.
Yeah. And it's totally wrong. It's totally wrong that that would happen. It has to be, we have to have the right to define who we are.
Mm-hmm.
As a people and be allowed to maintain our own identities as a people. Because white people want us to assimilate doesn't mean that we should have to assimilate
that's
and
right.
leave everything about ourselves mm-hmm. behind, because that's part of our identity.
Yeah.
And religious identity is something that is woven into my body. I don't have a choice about being a Catholic.
That's right.
I was raised as a Catholic, and unlike white folks who get the benefit of being able to choose to be a Buddhist or,
a shaman
or a Mormon this week or mm-hmm. a Jehovah's Witness next,
mm-hmm.
we can't do that. In fact, the only places that for indigenous people, for Latinos, especially Mexicans, and also for black people, if you look at the history,
mm-hmm.
where we could gather together in groups, where it was legal for us to gather together and worship,
mm-hmm.
was a church
yes.
to talk to each other, to see each other. At no other time were we allowed to gather together by ourselves. That's why white people freak out whenever they see a group of black people or brown people together. Because historically, white people, I think on some level, their DNA remembers. And the police's DNA remembers back during the times when if you saw us walking around together, that was illegal.
Yeah.
And we weren't supposed to be doing that. So it harkens back to the same history. We cling to our roots, in our religious roots, especially. Not because I necessarily have a deep connection to the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. per se,
mm-hmm.
but I do. Because all my people do, and all my history does. I can't run away from that. That's where my people is at.
Yeah.
If I leave that, I leave my people. I leave my history. I disconnect myself from who I am, where my people have gone through to get to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And white folks, I guess, apparently, can just throw that all out the window. You know what that says to me? They never cared about it in the first place.
That's right. That's right.
It's deeply rooted in everything that we do because it informs why people do the things they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we are easily divisible, because white folks will say, oh, you know, the wedge issue is going to be abortion. And even though the lack of access to abortions that are legal, not just in this country, but in the countries where most of those underage pregnancies occur, unwanted pregnancies occur to poor women of color,
mm-hmm.
many of them who have been raped, many of them who've been raped by their own family members, many of them who are under the age of 14.
Yeah.
Many of them who die as a result of not having access to a legal abortion.
Mm-hmm.
About 70,000
yeah.
a year. They're not white and they don't come from America. So it's easy for us to pontificate and go, yeah, well, you know, let them eat cake. They'll be fine.
Nope.
It's a sin. While people die.
Yeah.
For that sin, most of whom are not white, most of whom you don't know, most of whom you're not affected by. So it's easy to go, well, it sounds like a good law. It's not affecting me.
Yeah.
Or anybody I know. Yeah. Well, if the Bible says so, sure. Just chop off their heads. Who cares? That's what we do. We don't care. We don't care that disproportionately black people are in jail to the tune of one out of three men in America, black men in America, will be in jail or in prison in their lifetime.
Wow.
If one out of three white men were affected by something that caused them to end up in prison for the rest of their life, there would be, everything would stop.
Yep. There would be mayhem in the streets. Things would change immediately.
Everything would stop.
Yeah.
Yet it's perfectly acceptable to white people that this is happening to black people at a rate that cannot humanly be possible or explainable other than white supremacy and racism.
That's right. And people refuse to look at that.
And people refuse to look at it.
Yeah,
because
white people, anyways.
Yeah. Even the moderates. That's why this conversation about religion is so contentious, you see.
Yeah,
because the white moderate liberal, they arrogantly get to ignore the history of religion and what they've put people of color through.
Mm-hmm.
How they took this land and took the culture, the language, and the religion away from all of the native people, the First Nations people that were already living here, and enforced their own religion on them, which now they can conveniently forget.
That's right.
Ignore. While a portion of their leadership and their countrymen get to pontificate on the same said religious texts, which they also have misinterpreted and don't know most
of
the time.
Exactly.
And which they use all too often to throw the book at poor women, gay, transgender, people of color, non-normative people. And then when they are caught in the same web of lies, when that you see all of these televangelists, these people that pontificate upon religion, like this clerk in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Davis, when they fall from grace, then it's like, Lord, hear their prayer. And it's like the who's in Whoville all come out and they're like, you know,
oh yeah,
let's help them. Let's start a GoFundMe account.
You know, that Kim Davis deserves to be protected because she's just sticking to her religious beliefs and she is against gay marriage and it's against her religion. So therefore, she shouldn't have to have anything to do with it.
White, those people want to affirm that it's okay for her to be evil and they're going to save her from the punishment of the fall. That's some arrogant stuff right there.
Oh, it is. It is.
Because you know what? Not a leaf falls from the tree without God's say-so. Bible says that.
Yeah.
So if you fell from grace, maybe God wanted that to happen. Why are you out trying to stop God's hand?
Oh, yeah.
These are the same people that deny climate change.
Oh, yeah. And continually, like you've mentioned, continually quote the Bible but have never read it. And then demonize the Quran and have never read that either.
Right. And that's why I think that people are angry at the Pope, because what the Pope said is something that no other Pope I have ever heard of has ever said, that we should forgive women for abortion. And he said, the forgiveness of God cannot be denied to one who has repented. And he also said, I am well aware of the pressure that has led them to this decision. I know that it is an existential and moral ordeal. And during this year of Jubilee, which incidentally begins on December 8th and runs all the way until November 20th of 2016, during this time, people can get absolved of not just abortion, but other sins. Abortion, by the way, if you get an abortion or if you give someone an abortion, you are both excommunicated. If you're Catholics, I mean, if you're not Catholics, I guess you can't be excommunicated. But the point about this is that this absolves you. It brings you back into the church. But you know what? I'm not surprised that both conservatives and liberals in this country really hate this pontiff and really don't like him. I mean, some people are like, yay, I love this pope. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, as soon as I saw it was a Latin American pope, I'm like,
yeah. This is going to cause something. There's going to be immediate internal bias.
I bet white people who are so religious are going to change their tune.
Yeah.
Immediately, I started seeing a lot of Catholics were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
How dare he?
Yep, or he can't do anything because the whole church is corrupted and just one person's not going to change anything. And it's like, but listen to what he's saying. Listen to the words.
And he's saying some stuff. He said that, and this is, I think, directed at America, but it's directed at all forms of unfettered capitalism. But he said that it is the dung of the devil.
Wow.
Wow, it's not even the devil. It's the devil's dung. That's like, remember on the movie Grease? There's like, the men are like the fleas on the rats, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the dogs, you know? So, yeah, he had some really strong words about capitalism, America.
Mm-hmm. Yep, some pretty strong truth about capitalism.
Conservative Catholics here lost their minds.
Yeah, and he's spoken about immigrants and refugees that countries
has.
Are evil that turn people away.
He said that they better ask God for forgiveness.
That's right.
Because doing that is evil.
That's right. That's right. Out of the Bible and out of the Quran, you know.
Goes against God.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he said as well that he was calling for action to combat global climate change. Global warming. And he said that we need to phase out fossil fuels.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all of these things that he is saying are making people really angry. He also said, by the way, that when they asked him to respond to a question about the Vatican's official, a Vatican official who was allegedly gay, yeah. You know, what are you going to say about this guy? He said, who am I to judge?
Who am I to judge? Good answer.
And he's the Pope.
He's the Pope.
And he's talking.
Oh, yeah.
The Pope is talking. And I think the reason why the people are mad at the Pope is a lot of them. I'm not going to say all of them. But I think that a lot of them are mad at him because the Pope is attacking supremacy.
That's right. And they,
the rich.
And people need to be challenged. And they're elite. They're frustrated at being challenged. Challenged by someone of higher authority than themselves.
Yeah. But usually they use the authority of that kind of power to crucify, to sacrifice, to brutalize, to criminalize brown and black and gay and trans and non-normative gendered people in America, people of color,
mm-hmm.
women. And this is why the hypocrisy bothers me, because conservatives will be like, oh, we must pray for their forgiveness and their families in this time of need. People should leave them alone. And then on the other side, you have the liberals saying, we shouldn't be looking at their religious hypocrisy because what does that matter? People should be able to have enter whatever sin.
That's right.
The drugs they want, the sex they want, the mm-hmm. blah, 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 because they also have thrown away religion and the moral and the thing that they were tied to at some point. And they're saying, no, we're not going to focus on that either.
Mm-hmm.
No one should focus on anything. Let's not focus on that. They're just jerks.
Yeah.
No, all of you are moral hypocrites
mm-hmm.
because me as an indigenous person, listen, Native people for the first time in the history that I've known about Native people in this country and in my country and Indigenous people all over the world, for the first time, probably closer to around the time when I started seeing a real, you know, blow up of this is to the, closer to the time of the end of our Aztec calendar, or some people call it the Mayan calendar, and close to the time of the prophecy of the condor and the eagle, we start seeing people going back to the traditional ways. But this started happening a long time ago. Our people have always tried to maintain some traditional ways, some values that came from pre-colonization, from way back where our ancestors had given us wisdom about how to live and how to be in tune with the universe and how to be in tune with the land, with the earth, with the water, mm-hmm. right? With the creation itself. And this knowledge helped us live in a way that was a lot more healthy, a lot more productive, a lot more community driven, mm-hmm. family oriented than anything that exists now in the present day. And yet it was taken from us.
Yeah.
We were killed for that knowledge.
That's right.
We had to take that knowledge underground to the point where now the only written codexes that we have are few and far between, and most of them have been damaged.
That's right. Most of them are in other countries. They're not even in right. the hands of the people that they're
right.
that own them.
Right. Our knowledge we've had to fight for every moment, every second since the colonizers came here to be educated, mm-hmm. to have a chance even to go to school, to learn, to write, to read. We were forbidden from learning, just like the slaves. Mexicans were forbidden from learning. Indians were forbidden from learning. Then they were forced to go to school
mm-hmm.
so that they could be de-Indianized.
That's right.
They had to be assimilated.
That's right, man.
They had to kill the Indian and save the man.
That's right.
And they put them in boarding schools.
That's right.
And they put us in migrant schools. Mm-hmm. And they forced us to learn English. They forced us to cut people's hair, to change the language, the everything. We had to change everything about ourselves to conform to something that feels less threatening to white people. And yet white people, they don't even have to know about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to know about it.
It's called unearned privilege.
Yeah. It makes me angry.
It should. It should make us all angry.
It makes me angry that white people can ignore that, because I can never ignore that. I don't ever get to ignore that. Just like your white privilege. Mm-hmm. You get to ignore all the different privileges that you get from that. But I don't get to do that. And, well, you know, there was a group of nuns that responded. They're pretty upset too. They said that the Pope, he missed the boat. What he said was wrong for various reasons. And I'll tell you what they said. They said that his response was not affirming to women because it doesn't respect the moral authority that women have in making decisions for their own reproductive anatomy.
Hmm.
Now, I don't necessarily believe that what the Pope said was saying that, but I can see what the nuns are saying. What the nuns are saying, I believe, is that women have had a tradition of patriarchy and misogyny to deal with that the Pope is not addressing,
mm-hmm. which is true.
And because of that, we face oppression, rape, unwanted pregnancies, control of our economics, our ability to raise our kids, our ability to become educated and live independently, etc. So that, of course, makes us the underdog, the oppressed in the equation. The second thing the nun said was that the church is still holding, you know, the proclamation of the Pope, this still holds the decision made by the women as sinful.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of things that are happening upon the earth right now that in the eyes of God are not the way he intended them to be. And therefore he sees them as sinful.
Mm-hmm.
That is our fallenness.
Yes.
And in that way, a lot of stuff is sinful.
Definitely.
And in the eyes of God, it's all bad.
Yeah.
It's not like God's like, this is, you know, okay for you to do, and this thing over here is not okay for you to do.
Yeah, it's just a petty misdemeanor compared to a felony.
No, it's all, to God, all of it is sinful. It's all sinful.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, obviously, you know, in your eyes or, you know, in the eyes of some of us, the idea that murdering someone is worse than being a thief.
Yeah.
You know, but in the Bible, there is two people, I don't know if you remember this, they decided to sell a plot of land and not give a portion of it to the church, which is they're supposed to do this if they mm-hmm. were part of this group of believers.
Yeah.
And they didn't, and they kept all the money for themselves, and God struck them dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe being a thief isn't as bad as killing someone in your mind, but in the guise of God, he kills who he wants to, and he doesn't kill other people. Like King David, he had people killed. He was a murderer. Mm-hmm. So was Moses.
Yeah.
But he didn't strike them dead for their sin, which was, you know, in the eyes of man, way worse. So folks, again, it's all subjective, but I will say this. I understand what the nuns are saying, and mm-hmm. I think that that dialogue needs to be had here on earth amongst humans and mankind and nuns and popes, definitely. Number three, it does not acknowledge that sperm from males produces these unplanned pregnancies. Mm-hmm. Again, that speaks to the inequality that we suffer as women, that we've always suffered.
That's right.
I don't think that the Pope is addressing the inequality of men and women. In his statement, he is merely saying the church needs to forgive.
Yeah.
That's what mercy is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And number four, he says it only serves to highlight the fact that women should be eligible for all sacraments. Again, they're talking about equality in the church,
mm-hmm.
and the sacrament of being able to become a priest is one that they're arguing for here.
That's right.
I believe. And also it continues the practice of men proclaiming what is right and just for women. Again, they're asking for equality here. And it's right. I'm not saying that the nuns don't have a right to ask for equality.
No.
What I am saying though, is that I believe that this, you know, moral outrage on the part of a lot of white, liberal, progressive women is, hey, Pope, we don't need your permission to get abortions. I hear what you're saying, progressive women. Yes, in a messed up world where there is no protection from men, their advances, their economic oppression over us, their control over the running of everything.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can rape us with impunity and not mm-hmm. be punished and exactly. a whole host of other injustices heaped on women. Yes. Then if you can't get rid of those injustices heaped on us, you can't demand that we forbear them without making mistakes about how we go about dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Any more than you can punish a soldier that comes back from war with PTSD
yes.
for not being able to handle his PTSD mm-hmm. after we threw him into a situation where he was exposed to mind altering, devastating, trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not justice.
No,
that's not justice at all. And the same way in which people freaked out about the Pope, they've freaked out about this Kim Davis chick.
Oh, yeah. And the Kentucky clerk.
Yeah. They're like, the progressive white people. You know, I've been hammering progressive white people a lot lately.
Well, we need to, because progressive white people can make a big difference. And we need to get our crap together. We've really got to change.
Well, I think that you guys got some blind spots.
Oh, yeah.
And you're very defensive about hearing about those.
Mm-hmm.
Not as defensive as Republicans, I have to say.
Yeah.
There is hope. There is a lot more hope, of course, I feel. And having married a liberal.
That's right.
Progressive. Yeah. White dude.
Catholic.
Who's Catholic. But you told me you were an atheist when I met you.
That's right.
Because you were in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, no, I don't think so, buddy. If my ancestors were murdered for that Bible, you're reading that thing.
That's right.
And by the way, when I was an English major in college, one of my lit teachers, I think it was Epic and Tragic Literature. I can't remember, but he shamed everybody in the class because he asked about some reference in Chaucer that was alluding to the Bible, and nobody knew what it was. And he was like, what? He was from Russia, too.
Okay.
And I think he was even a Muslim. But he said, how can you people call yourselves, and I thought he was going to say a Christian nation, mm-hmm. but he didn't. He goes, how can you people call yourselves English majors?
Yeah.
And not know the best-selling book and not know it backwards and forwards, mm-hmm. especially in this country.
That's
and I was
right.
like, oh.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, he laid it on, and I was ashamed
mm-hmm.
because I realized my privilege that I had been forced to read it by my grandparents. My grandmother, Trinity, yes, I said Trinity, like the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. Because Mexicans get named all sorts of holy names.
That's
because
right.
the colonizers took away our naming system that we mm-hmm. had that was based on our Aztec calendar and our religion.
Yeah.
And then they gave us all names like Mary and Joseph mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Mary of Joseph.
That's right.
And Trinity and
Jesus and Jesus and Jesus.
Right, right, right. And now white people get to make fun of the fact that we're all named the same.
Yeah. First names and last names.
Irony.
Yes.
Because you guys took away our ability to name ourselves. That's how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the very things that we get busted for are the things that you imposed on us. We didn't even have a control over that. And we had to learn. I had to, my grandmother Trinity, she never learned how to read. She was illiterate because of our enslavement and colonization and the way that the majority of poor indigenous campesinos in Mexico were treated, which is like 90% of the population. They weren't allowed to learn. There was no system for making sure that everybody had an education. Most people in Mexico today still have but a sixth grade level education.
Yeah.
More than half of the people in Mexico live in extreme poverty. And that is a privilege that white people don't ever even think about. That as a person that came to this country where I got to learn how to not only speak Spanish, English, read and write both languages, I could read to my grandmother and she expected it. It wasn't something like I could negotiate, like, really, Grandma, do I have to read the Bible to you? It's like, you're going to read the Bible because mm-hmm. you're the only one that can do this. I can't do it. So, you know, white people take that kind of stuff for granted because they can be like, I'm going to go be a Mormon. I'm going to go and do a sweat. I'm going to go and become a shaman. And I'm like, how nice for you, white person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that choice.
That's right.
I still don't have that choice if I want to have any connection to my people
mm-hmm.
and to the thin cord that connects us all the way back through history to our roots as people that that knew science and understood and our religion was really the knowledge of science
mm-hmm. exactly
and astronomy and the cycles and of the moon mm-hmm. and the planting and earth and medicine and
that's right.
And math and a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where I find that there's a religious hypocrisy. That's where I find that America is falling from grace. I'm not just talking to Republicans, conservatives, religious zealots. I'm talking to liberal, moderate, progressive, white Americans. I'm talking to both sides of the coin. Please listen. It's time for you to stop hiding behind your white privilege. Examine it, acknowledge it. And for those of you who think that you're liberal progressives, that you read about it, you know what white privilege is, and so you've acknowledged it, you haven't done anything yet.
Gotta live it. Gotta live it.
You can't just talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go do it.
Exactly.
Live it.
Mm-hmm.
Start disrupting white supremacy where and when you see it.
Which is all the time.
Start challenging yourselves. Get out there and do something more because the time has come for America. America is falling right now.
Mm.
Even as we are sitting here with Trump spewing his anti-immigrant hate, God is looking down on us and shaming us. We're seeing bodies washing up on the Mediterranean shores of these Syrian babies. And we say, horror of horrors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those heartless, what? Check yourself, America, because you have been funneling people through the most dangerous parts of the desert in Sonora to their deaths by the thousands. Year after year, you have led people to their deaths, men, women, and children, and you don't care. You've never given a damn about those deaths. There are mass graves along your border right now. If you care about the deaths of human children that are brown, they don't have to be floating in the Rio Grande. They don't have to be floating in water at all. Mm-hmm. They can be piles of bones out in the desert. There's plenty of them. That's go right. Check it out, exactly. America. Mm-hmm. If you care about the fall from grace, if you care about where we really are morally in this country, let's look no further beyond our shores. We don't have to condemn people in Greece. We don't have to condemn people in Syria or in Saudi Arabia. We got plenty of condemnation to go around right here.
Oh, yeah.
In the United States of America. You've been listening to KPPP LPFM. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And we're broadcasting right now live on Live 365 online. Soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. Thank you for listening. And what will you take us out with today?
We're going to leave with L7, Pretend We're Dead.
Yeah, instead of waking up.